Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 2019 WHM Oscars special. I'm Andrew Jupin here with Steven Sadek, Christopher Cabin, Eric Siska. We are here to talk about, I guess, so what, like our Oscar picks, our predictions, the Oscar hot goss also is a major component this year.
I think we're really going to be talking mostly about this epidemic that is sweeping the nation, which is Oscar fever, and stay indoors for the love of God.
I think the problem is everyone is avoiding Oscar fever this year. Everyone's trying to steer clear. Like it is the fucking plague.
Well, yeah, it's last minute dropout by Kendrick Lamar, man.
Was he going to do a Black Panther song?
He was going to do the Black Panther song with SZA, and then he dropped out. So wait, he had to get up to the day.
Did he drop out because they were going to air it during the commercial break or
something? It's possible. Knowing them, it's possible.
Now you come. No. We're gonna give out cinematography. It's just gonna be downstairs.
Look,
go downstairs for the cinematography awards.
Look, Queen is gonna do all the songs. Okay, that's how it's gonna be now,
dude. Oh, and the Queen. Are they performing?
Oh yeah, Adam Lambert's gonna do Freddie Mercury.
Man. Oh, I forgot. They've been touring with him for years. Actually,
they're opening the show with him.
What do you mean they're opening the show?
Like the opening number is going to be Queen.
Well, is this because they never got a host?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true.
Are they going to do like a Queen montage of all the movies? Like the Billy Crystal bit?
Wow, that'd be something.
So it's just like old ass Brian May, and he's like pretending to be an, I don't know, Black Klansman.
Oh, yeah. It's at Live Aid, but then there's the Iron Curtain that the stars of Cold War are just slipping through.
See, actually, yeah, this could maybe work. That's what it should have been. They should have had us fucking right for the Oscars.
I just don't understand how they couldn't figure out the host thing. Like, yeah, you know, fucking, you know, Kevin Hart's an asshole. Sure. It was 2 months ago. Get anybody. Like, get Ray Romano. Like, call up Ray Romano. And, like, there you go.
Did you hear the there is a rumor going around that it's going to be, like, a special host, and it's going to be Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, the Whoopster.
That's not bad, actually.
I heard a rumor that she might just come in at the last minute.
She's one of the fucking all-time greats of the hosting world.
Christian Bale in a fat suit. I know he lost the weight. He's going to wear a fat suit. Have him host as Dick Cheney. There you go.
I think I got it, by the way. Papa John Schnatter.
Ooh, yeah. Everybody loves that guy.
Wait, what?
And is it just him apologizing the whole time?
Yeah, it's just him in various boardroom sketches.
I just don't get it, man. Like, figure it the fuck out. You should have figured it out months ago.
It's so embarrassing that they couldn't figure it out, right? Like, it's the fucking Academy Awards. You couldn't find a single entertainer on the face of the earth that wanted to do this.
Get Mark Maron to do it, man. Honestly, that guy's a comedian.
Oh, shit. Okay. Oh, so best foreign language film, Capernaum. Yeah. Who are your guys? Hey, Lebanon, who are your guys?
All right. So, Jack Nicholson's good. Oh, shit. You're that guy? Jack Nicholson,
shit.
You're the guy. You're the cuckoo nest. Yeah. I like that guy.
Oh, fuck. You were in The Departed? Shit. That movie was great. I didn't see it, though.
You know, I fucking hate Jon Stewart. Just so everybody knows. I fucking hate him.
Why didn't he do it? I mean, I know he only made that one movie, but that's someone.
Sure.
And he's making another movie.
I think Jon Stewart's like raising sheep or something now, right?
He's got that fucking place in Jersey, yeah.
You could have got Colbert. Like, I'm literally, give me a day, I can give you 100 names of reasonable people. Ellen DeGeneres was great.
Yeah, well, then she got in trouble because she was all like, oh, Kevin Hart, we all support you, too.
Oh, I forgot about that. It's been so long. This saga has been so long.
I know. I cannot believe we've been talking about, like, who may be doing shit at the Academy Awards for this long.
Yeah, get the lieutenant from the Coast Guard that tried to kill everyone.
Get Harvey Keitel. Why not?
Oh, he'd be a great host. Yeah, that's what it is, Kevin. You're right.
Dick out, dude. Dick out. Yeah.
Totally dick out, screaming about the Mets and losing $10,000.
He just gets up there with Queen and starts going,
you. He goes up. He's dressed as his character from Pulp Fiction, the Wolf. Nice. He's got the mustache. He's like, all right, everybody, listen up. I talk fast. I move fast. I give out awards fast. The song's going to happen. The dead people, then the awards, and then we're out of here by 9:15.
That's actually a genius idea.
All right, so let's cover. It's we're gonna talk about some categories and then maybe not do some categories and do some other We Hate Movies related things here. But let's start off. I don't know, original screenplay. How about that? That's can cover a screenplay right.
This is screens that are written out, and then people vote on them for which one's the best.
Yes, the best screen.
So this is, it's not based on anything. So we have The Favorite, First Reformed, Green Book, Roma, and Vice.
I mean, are we talking about what we would like to win, what we think's going to win? I guess we could.
I think maybe try to do both if you can, you know, or if they're different, maybe not.
I would say that I would really hope that they give it to Paul Schrader.
Me too.
I really, really hope they do. And if not, I guess they really could give that fucking thing to Green Book.
But that motherfucker subscribed to that fucking Trump conspiracy theory.
Wait, what?
The guy Nick Vallelonga was like retweeted and definitely said multiple times that he too saw people cheering in Jersey City.
Not just people, Muslims.
Muslims, yeah.
That is insane.
Yeah, but, dude. And then he fucking like, he deleted those tweets and he tried to send an apology tweet and then he just fucking deleted his Twitter account.
Oh,
altogether.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the move when a fucking baby boomer is using Twitter.
Wait, so did he tweet that recently or was this like uncovered?
Oh, no, this is uncovered. Yeah, somebody did some Twitter digging.
Yeah, I think it happened before the Globe. So I kind of still think, I mean, like, I don't know if they'll have time to realign it.
Oh, well, of course it did because the fucking Oscar voting didn't even start until after the Globes, which was bullshit because like so many people were complaining about how that would, you know, the winners of those would influence people doing the voting for the Oscars, which I think is totally true. But it started, the voting for the Oscars opened on that Monday.
Oh, weird.
After the Golden Globes ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, like, hopefully everyone tried to course correct because, I mean, like, I guess my, what I'd like, I mean, obviously for First Reformed I'd like to see, but since it's got shut out from every other category, I kind of also like a lot of Paul Schrader shit has come up that everybody's like, eh. I'd like to see The Favorite. I would like to see it just because I also feel like that movie's going to get shut out from everything. That's
I kind of think so too. Well, you know, I think one of the reasons,
even though I really love that movie, it's one of my favorite movies of the year for sure. The Favorite. I
think it's great, but I think in some maybe voters' minds, they're like, oh well, last year was the fucking Fox Searchlight year between Three Billboards getting a bunch of shit, and then like fucking Shape of Water winning Best Picture among other
awards.
Was that
last year?
Yes. That was. Can you believe it, dude? That was just fucking last year.
It sounds like at least 5 years ago.
I have created a time vortex.
I also could see, like, Roma would be good too because I think Roma is great. Vice, I hope, does not get it.
Roma, I think, I think Roma, the one category I would be a little bit miffed. Not that the screenplay is bad, but this was the one I would just say any other category I'm way in for Roma, screenplay less so. Advice is wretched.
I'd agree with that.
I think that, I mean, I didn't get to First Reformed yet, which is unforgivable since it's on Amazon now, I think.
Yeah.
But The Favorite, I did really love. I didn't see Green Book and Vice. I can't win. I hope not.
I totally agree. I really despised Vice. I know some people like it. I just, top to bottom, that movie is rotten at the core. And I don't think there's like, oh, well, what? You just don't want to hear about Dick. I don't want to hear about Dick Cheney in this way. And I don't think the movie glorifies him at all. I just think it's too cartoonish, too all over the place, and too who gives a shit.
I think it's too preachy. But I do, I liked Christian Bale, and I think he was fun because, what if we came to a different understanding and went to the hospital immediately?
Well, I do think the problem with Vice primarily is the screenplay. So yes. I would really hope that that is not where it wins. I hope it's just Christian Bale.
Don't you think for First Reformed, though, with Schrader, I mean, the guy has been around for so long. He's created so much amazing shit, both as a writer and a director and a writer-director. Mm-hmm. Couldn't this be like his Departed? And they're like, all right, he's finally fucking nominated for something. let's hand it to him kind of a thing.
I feel like I think the first reform was like woefully undernominated. Like I think
I do too.
Ethan Hawke should have been nominated director, the whole bit. But I think since it's just the one, I also feel like there was another, like you get your screeners in the mail on the back of your first reformed thing is like, we cannot have Paul Schrader at the mic on Oscar night. We're not allowing that.
Right, because he might say he'd try to bring back Kevin Spacey or something. But I mean, I think he should win just for Taxi Driver alone. Let's do a make good like we did for Gladiator with Russell Crowe. To make good for not winning The Insider, right? Is that right?
Oh, is that the story behind that? Oh, yeah, totally. Because that fucking Gladiator, man, who could care?
And then Denzel Washington won for Training Day to make up for his entire career.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's what I brought up Scorsese. It's the same thing.
And that's why I think Sam Elliott is a lock.
Yeah.
All right, so let's just jump on over to it for Best Supporting Actor, Mahershala Ali for Green Book, Adam Driver for Black Klansman, the aforementioned Sam Elliott in A Star is Born, Richard E. Grant for Can You Ever Forgive Me, and Sam Rockwell as George W. Bush for Vice.
I can't believe Rockwell got nominated. I think that's the same way.
Yeah. Why are we nominating Saturday Night Live performances?
Like, again, like, Bale, absolutely, sure. I think, but, like, Rockwell was the most cartoony out of the whole movie and took me out of the movie every single time.
I'd agree with that. And I think, actually, I don't think it's going to be Elliot. I think it's probably going to be Grant.
I hope so.
That's my hope, right? Because, like, he's such a good dude, first of all. He's been in a lot of great things and just sort of ignored. But that's what... See, this is what
sucks.
That
movie's awesome. I'm sorry. I think that movie is absolutely awesome.
Well, it's a great movie. Guys, Whoopi Goldberg is handing out this award, and it goes to Sam Elliott, her co-star from Fatal Beauty back in the 80s. And
right.
It would be an amazing little moment that no one would understand but us.
Was she ever in anything with Richard E. Grant?
I would like to thank the Whoopster.
hey Whoopster, I was watching Fatal Beauty the other day. Real fine performance both of us turned in that cop comedy.
Say, Whoopster, did we ever fuck? I feel like we did at some point. Probably at a party.
Gotta be honest with you, my life is pretty hazy.
Oh, you know what, Whoopster? Sorry, I was confusing me with Ted Danson. I do that all the time.
No, I was confusing you with Ted Danson, actually.
I one time fucked Ted Danson.
And it was glorious.
That is fan fiction I would read.
Yeah, oh, definitely. Yeah, like Danson / Elliot. Oh, my God. That is some slash I could read.
I don't know. I mean, like, yeah, Elliot's fine in that movie. But I also think that, like, it's just nuts that he's nominated and Bradley Cooper's just doing an impression of Sam Elliott.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. I really don't like A Star Is Born. So
I'm not crazy about it either. I think it's like aggressively okay.
Aggressively okay is a great way to put it, dude.
I think it's a great first 40 minutes, and then it really just falls right off a cliff.
That's totally true, Kevin. Because also that movie's like 2 hours and 15 minutes, fucking sitting through it.
Well, because you think I agree with you. The first 40 minutes, you think it's going to be about Lady Gaga's like actual rise and like what that looks like actually in the modern context. You know what I mean? Like there's smartphones everywhere, blah, blah, blah. But the rest, like after minute 41, the rest of that movie could take place in 1976. Like,
oh, you think really she should have a Twitter scandal, dude?
Yeah, something like that. Also, he pissed himself at the Grammys. That's how you kill yourself. It's like, oh, dude, everyone is talking about it all of the time.
Right.
I mean, the thing with that is every other version of the story does center on the woman. So it's a little weird that to make the choice that it seems to be more about him for the last hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. Especially when you're the director, too.
Yeah.
And the writer and all that stuff. It's like, but what if there was more me? And right. No. What if she does something, but then you look at me looking at her being like, mm-mm-mm.
Do you see this tan? Do you see this beard I got? I grew my hair perfectly to attract a Lady Gaga.
Now, quiet, everybody. When you want to attract a Lady Gaga, you got to get real still. Dye your hair dark brown.
Don't want to scare it away.
Cover yourself with mud. It can sense heat.
So Adam Driver, I think he's great, but there, I think that's like a no chance in hell in this category compared to everyone else here. And Rockwell, the same. So
I mean, and Mahershala, I mean, here's the other thing, though. I will be not surprised, but aggressively upset if this turns into like it was Green Book's night.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. I read all the negative takes about it. So did anyone actually sit down with Green Book?
I saw it three times at this point.
Earlier this week. I think the weird thing is that Mahershala Ali is the best part of that movie by like leaps and bounds.
I think
Viggo's good too. Like the acting is good. It's just your classic like two good performances trapped in a shitty movie.
It's just a movie that makes like fucking white boomers feel the tiniest bit better about race relations, which is
most movies
and which is most of the Academy.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying though. Cabin is like, and I'm just looking at like the stats of like how long I've played these movies. I opened Green Book the fucking day before Thanksgiving, and I'm still playing it.
Oh, Jesus.
I saw it to quite a raucous crowd on like a Monday at like, 3 p.m. Like,
what makeup are you talking about? Like, who was in that audience?
Old people. Just nothing but old people.
Yeah. Steve St. Egg stars in nothing but old people.
I feel like if it was a younger crowd, a lot more of these things would probably be going to A Star Is Born.
Yeah.
But I think that like they really just did shut them out, and because First Reform, which is almost universally accepted as the best movie that came out last year, is relegated to what, to one category?
Yeah,
I think the screenplay was the only nomination.
That's insane,
nuts. Maybe, yeah, it's crazy.
But it's insane that Ethan Hawke got shut out.
And I mean, like the fact that, I mean, again, Mahershala Ali definitely belongs in Best Supporting, and I do think Viggo is fine for that nod, but I think the rest of Green Book needs to be somewhere else, like not nominated for anything.
Well, Steve, you said it on the mailbag, dude. Peter Farrelly's a genius.
Yeah, he sure is. Anyone could have directed that movie, literally anybody.
That's what I think is like so unfortunate about it, is there's like nothing in that movie that's like, wow. The direction of this film, it's really just like nothing. Like, it doesn't even feel to that extent like a Farrelly Brothers movie.
I also think that you should lose your directorial nomination the second you use a map and a little line to tell that time and distance are happening. Like, that's absolutely not it. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's what shut out fucking all those Indiana Jones movies.
That's it. That's a rule.
It's just, I don't know. I'm going to be so ready. The second that ceremony is over with, I'm going to be so fucking ready to stop talking about Green Book.
It's going to be great. I think, so you want to go to Best Actor?
Yeah, let's do that. So we got Christian Bale for Vice, Bradley Cooper for A Star Is Born, Willem Dafoe for Ad Eternity's Gate.
What?
Rami Malek for Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen for Green Book. I will say,
You just heard about Ad Eternity's Gate, because so did I.
No, because
I've heard about it. I wanted to see it, and yet here we are.
I saw that movie back. Kevin, you saw it too at the New York Film Festival.
Ad Eternity's Gate?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's the same, I think, with almost all Schnabel movies, where I like half of it exactly.
I thought it was quite excellent. I was really struck by that movie. It was one of my favorites of the year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The camera work is insane.
It's so, I mean, it's nuts to me that did not get cinematography. It's a beautiful, it's a movie directed by a painter. You know, so like it looks incredible.
Well, don't worry about it, because cinematography is again being handed out at the basement number 3 under the auditorium.
But didn't they renege on all that?
They did. Well, that's the thing that the Oscars have been doing. They've been like, oh, we're going to have a popular film award. Oh, wait, everybody hates that? No. Okay. Yeah. Kevin Hart, everybody hates him? Okay, no.
Maybe not every single like award show where you're clapping to yourself needs to be the highest rated thing on television.
Exactly. Like, it's fine to lose. Of course it's going to lose viewers over the years.
Yeah.
Like,
people are going to watch it, but it's just not going to be the Super Bowl. Sorry.
But guys, look at what happened to the fucking Cable Ace Awards. They took that mentality and now it's just gone.
Steve, you were talking recently about like fans not owning art and fans like shouldn't be listened to. This is one situation where the fans actually made the thing better.
Well, that's not true. I mean, I take your point, but it's more like fans were like, no, don't ruin it. You had it, don't ruin it.
What do you mean?
Well, they tried to change it, and the fans said, don't do that.
Yeah.
So they did not change it.
Yeah, so they listened to the fans and said, okay, we're not going to do that.
You're right.
The other thing I was going to say, though, just as we're talking about lead actor here, the other night, I don't know that any, I think maybe Cabin, or no, Steve, you did too. We all saw Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh, I saw it.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, you guys, this is one of the worst movies I've seen in a really fucking long time.
Yes, and I cannot believe it's been nominated
It is a fucking pile of horseshit, that movie.
I thought Rami Malek was fine. Like, he was probably the best part of that movie. Not saying a ton.
I could imagine him in a good version of this movie and me being much happier.
Absolutely.
He is the live wire. And this is really, to me, the thing where they're shoving it in your face. We're like, we don't really care if we're going to help an accused pedophile to get more jobs.
Yep. Well, I mean, I don't know. I think Singer's probably done at this point, no matter what.
No, he's not.
They shelved that fucking movie, dude.
Red Sonja? I thought it was back on.
No, they shelved it.
I don't think, no matter what, even if Bohemian Rhapsody sweeps the whole thing, I think Singer's probably done. I think. But Bohemian Rhapsody is like, the whole thing about Bohemian Rhapsody is like, it's that thing, it's that Broadway show where it's like, oh, it's all of Cher's hits. And the idea is you go in, you're a tourist, you don't want to see the exciting new Broadway show that might be challenging.
Yep.
You go into an auditorium to hear music you've already liked.
Yeah,
Bohemian Rhapsody is.
They call those jukebox musicals. That's exactly what it is. It's like you're there. And I was feeling that too, because like, I don't give a shit about Queen, but like, you put those like the big hits on, I'm fucking tapping my toe and singing along. And that's what it was. Also, by the way, because we're predominantly just using Freddie Mercury's vocal tracks for all of it, like Rami Malek, as far as I'm understanding it, did no singing. And
they said they mixed him in, but I doubt that they mixed him in.
Well, you know, you guys, I think you hit the nail on the head with the jukebox musical there. I think they should have just done this as a musical. Like, I don't I don't care if you're talking to businessmen, you know, just right. sing through the, like, write a song, a Queen-esque song about,
that's a really good idea,
record contractor.
Yeah, it's like a musical with the songs are in the style of Queen or something.
Yeah, and just never ends.
Concert,
and there's another concert, and then there's a song about getting a taxi,
He vaguely has sex with men because it's year 2019. Like, I don't need Weekend. I don't need the movie Weekend. I don't need to see Come, but I need to see, like, sensuality. If that's the dude's life, let's do that.
Note,
you know?
To self, rent Weekend.
Oh, dude, yeah, you want to wear it.
It's quite good.
It's a great movie.
It's one of those things, though, where it's like, you're not going to show sensuality because of the angle of this movie. And again, it's weird because this is supposedly predominantly directed by Bryan Singer, who is a gay man. That, like, it's like, once he starts, like, sleeping with dudes, and that fucking mustache twirling evil gay guy, the dude from fucking Downton Abbey, is like ruining his life. Like, once he starts having sex with dudes, his life goes downhill.
Yes.
Is what the movie tells you. Mm-hmm. So there's no room for sensuality, because it's like,
or even sexuality. Like, it's all off screen. It's like, oh man, last night Freddie had a lot of sex. That was something. And it's like, that's it.
Yeah.
Well, hey guys, we had to find a way to give Mike Myers a role in something.
Oh,
fucking hell.
I don't know. Was it the worst part of the movie? Maybe not, but it felt like it in the moment.
I screamed at my television when the scene, it's like the second scene with him, and he's fucking pissing and moaning about Bohemian Rhapsody, the song, and he has the line, it's something like, who is going to want to sit in their car and bang their head to this song? And I wanted to fucking throw my television out the window.
Oh,
like, dude, do we really? I knew I wasn't going to escape it, but did we really need a Wayne's World reference?
And Best Picture goes to.
Yeah, no, I mean, it did it at the Globes, dude, and I fucking shit the bed then. I hadn't even seen it yet.
And even Rami Malek, I do think he's fine, but I don't think that, I mean, like, the rest of this, now, the rest of the fucking, you know, slate, you know, Bale, I think Bale is great in a bad movie.
Yeah.
Cooper is, I think Cooper's just fine with a capital F.
Yeah, I agree on that.
Yeah. Vigo's good. Vigo's doing good stuff. The weird thing about Vigo in that movie is he's 61 years fucking old. He is 61.
Vigo in real life?
No, Vigo's 61. That's crazy. Dude, if you look at the timeline, the guy should be in his 30s, which kind of makes sense. I mean, like, the age difference between him and Linda Cardellini. All right. Okay.
Yeah, that's weird.
But it's weird that he's like, it's kind of weird because, like, when he talks, when he's in the car and he's talking, he's like, oh, yeah, back in the war. And to me, I was like, oh, was that like World War II? But no, it's supposed to be Korea. That's what, you know what I mean? Like, it skews the movie
I thought that was going to be the war to win democracy or whatever. The war to end all wars, World War I.
I don't know if you should be gaining all that weight in your 60s, man. I mean, I guess he'll lose it, but.
I think he's probably just going to, I mean, they probably made him older to rake in the boomers, I feel.
Wait, but we weren't fat suiting it with that?
Oh, no, that's all Vigo, that's dude. Him.
Well, we had him at the Burns for a fucking Green Book screening.
Was he thick with two C's?
No, he was looking totally fine. He looked like Viggo Mortensen.
Wow. He's,
the he weights are lost it's gone. All.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably got like a mad nutritionist.
Well, Bale can do it. Bale's already back to...
Well, that's maybe normal. Maybe he sat down with Bale and he's like, maybe we could come to some kind of understanding.
How can I eat air and nothing else?
Bale's going to die in like 20 years because of all those weight fluctuations.
I think he said that this was the last time he was going to do that because didn't he have like a heart doctor or something? Because he wound up recommending Adam McKay see that guy and Adam McKay was like about to have a heart attack or something. Did you see that story?
Oh, no.
Like he was like having troubles on the set or something. Christian Bale was like, you should go see this doctor I have or something like that. Maybe it wasn't his doctor.
What if we went to the hospital immediately?
That's what it was, dude. And this doctor was like, hey, Adam McKay, you're like 50, whatever. You have to stop smoking and eating terribly because you're really about to have a heart attack. So Christian Bale, the story was like Christian Bale basically like saved Adam McKay's life.
Don't eat pie.
Out of curiosity, I didn't see at Eternity's Gate. When Defoe cuts his ear off and puts it in a box, does he look at it and yell, "Avenge me!"
The movie avoids showing you that.
Oh, but speaking about the age gap or whatever of Vigo, this has it too, because Defoe like way older than Van Gogh ever got to see?
Yeah, Van Gogh only lived to be in like his early 30s or something, and Defoe was like in his 60s.
Old Europe 30s, which like was
that's why I think it's totally passable because he was fucking riddled with like syphilis and shit. So like he could have looked like a 60-year-old man when he was like 32.
Well, no. They should have definitely still gotten Chris Pine.
Sorry, Kevin. I know you love Chris Pine, but that dude does not have the chops for that movie.
Yeah, probably not.
Who is wasted in At Eternity's Gate, though, I feel, is you have Oscar Isaacs floating around there.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gauguin?
Paul Gauguin.
Yeah, Gauguin. Yep.
Okay. And Rupert Friend plays...
a windmill.
Theo van Gogh, the brother.
Ah.
And he's also quite good in it. Like I truly think it's a really good movie.
I'll probably watch it eventually.
But I think for this category, you know, my whole thing is like, fuck, man. I mean, this is tough because I don't give a shit about so much. I mean, I guess the reality is for me, I want Defoe. I think it's probably going to get tossed, honestly, to Bradley Cooper.
I think he's probably going to win, too.
I really hope not.
Because I think that everybody feels bad that he didn't get a director's nomination, which he totally didn't deserve.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, I mean, he's kind of good in that movie. And I mean... He is kind of good in that movie.
I'm going to say Bale or Malick because I'm thinking about the age range of the voters. And like Vigo is also a possibility.
I think it probably goes to... I want to say it probably goes to Malick. And then Cooper is possibly the dark horse.
Uh-huh. I just cannot believe they're going to reward Bohemian Rhapsody for anything. It's insane.
It's one. I have to go back and amend my Letterboxd list now that I've seen it because it is one of the worst movies of 2018. It's fucking embarrassing. The fucking Live Aid concert, when they're showing that crowd, it fucking looks like Guitar Hero footage.
It looked better when when your man there, General Hux, gives that speech in
The Force Awakens, like that fascist speech. Yeah.
Yeah. Like it looks, that looked better than live.
Well, yeah. I mean, cause that was awesome. And why isn't that nominated this year?
Best actress in a supporting role.
All right. So for, for that, we have, Amy Adams for Vice.
Nope.
Marina de Tavera from Roma. She was the woman who played the wife. Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk. Emma Stone, The Favorite. Rachel Weisz, also The Favorite. I agree with Chris Cabin that it should King. Be Regina King. Yeah,
I still haven't seen Beale Street, unfortunately. That's one of these I haven't seen.
It's good, but like I think I had such expectations coming off of Moonlight, right?
Yeah,
it's a tough follow-up. Yeah.
Exactly, and that's not like the movie's fault, but it's good. I liked probably The Favorite and Roma more. So I could see it going to maybe one of the favorite stars there, Emma Stone or Rachel Weisz, but probably King, I would say.
Yeah, I'm an Amy Adams stan, as they say in the streets.
You're a fan of her? Is that what you're saying?
A stan.
Stanley.
His name is Stanley Ipkiss.
I think it's a reference to the Eminem song.
Yeah, it's like, that means like a super fan kind of.
It's like saying instead of, you know how like, you know, photography got replaced by the word selfie. Now fan is replaced by stan because some 14-year-old typed it on a goddamn AOL, not AOL, but you know, the modern one of AOL.
Snapchat.
Twitter. We call that Twitter. No, but I think that she does nothing in that movie.
Yeah, she doesn't do anything. No, I mean, but like she does illustrate that like the Cheney woman was perhaps more villainous than the husband in terms of force, like pushing him to become an evil monster. Like if she was just cool with him just being like a drunk coming home after hanging telephone wires and just screaming at the void, we would have avoided a lot of death in this.
Well,
country
dude, she's
and
she's
world.
Truly the puppet master.
Yeah,
I also think Emma Stone should be Best Actress. Right, like that's
well,
a leading role.
They gave it to Olivia Colman instead, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I think you're kind of right though, Steve, because
it is her movie. She is the star.
She's the protagonist.
Yes. Yeah.
So it is. It's weird. Yeah.
I think both anyone from The Favorite, all three of those performances are fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, they're excellent.
That actually might be my favorite movie of the year that I've seen.
Yeah. It's just great. It's like flat out like it's a period piece, but it like really seems vital and exciting. You know what I mean? It's not stuffy in the least.
I guess I should come forward and say I don't think it's that good.
Really?
Wow.
It's probably actually not my least favorite Lanthimos, but...
Well, because that has to be Alps, because that is a legitimately bad movie.
I like Alps much more than this.
By the way, if you're listening to this and you're not aware of the Chris Cabin, he is noted as one of the top 10 most contrarian film critics to have ever walked the earth.
This has to be mentioned on every episode now, much like the fuck you, Chris, has to be on every Glee glossary.
It's a disclaimer. It's a disclaimer. I just want people to know.
I'm imagining we're in our 70s. It's a fantasy where we live to our 70s.
Oh, nice.
And we're at a deli and we're all old men and like Chris is like, you know, can I have the I'll take the matzo ball soup. And then Eric just chimes in, yeah, waitress, you know, my friend here happens to be the top 10 contrarian film critic of the year.
That extends to soup, apparently. The guy's got a, you know, the soup taste. I apologize for it.
And I'll have the Krefka.
oh, ew.
Clap kablash.
I just think when I'm looking at these performances here, I saw every movie in this category. I just think of Regina King, that the sequence in Beale Street where she goes to Cuba to try to get that woman to drop the charges and everything. Like, it's just knock you on your ass power acting that I don't think anything else in any of these other performances comes close to. So for me, at least like personal preference, that's kind of a no brainer. And I don't think it's a stretch to say that people would give it to her either. But the problem is also like everyone's just so fucking in love with Emma Stone still.
I think she's great in that movie. I actually think Rachel Weisz is better in this category for sure. And I actually like Di Tavaria as well in Roma. I think she's like, she kind of gives that movie a lot of contours and does a lot of quiet stuff that's really helpful.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree with that.
All right, so let's pop up to lead actress.
We have Yalitza Aparicio for Roma, Glenn Close for The Wife, Olivia Colman for The Favorite, Lady Gaga, Star is Born, and Melissa McCarthy for Can You Ever Forgive Me? I should say that I'm hoping no one on this show right now saw The Wife because none of us are 65 years old or up.
Well, guess who's 60 years old?
Fucking, why did you watch this
movie,
Kevin?
Are you granny shagging, dude?
Yes, I am, Eric.
Yeah, dude.
I'm doing it right
He's
now.
He's a granny shagger! You,
Chris Cabin not only is a contrarian, he also goes to film screenings to pick up older women that are in various stages of senility.
Nothing but slam dunks.
They call him the octopus of film for him. He's grabbing at everything.
The tentacle will come for you.
No, I saw it.
Yeah.
How is it, Chris?
The movie itself is not good at all, but she is very... If there's a reason to watch it, she's the reason to watch. She is essentially... The movie is not bad as Bohemian Rhapsody, but it's a similar situation where the only redeemable thing about it is the nomination for the star.
But Kevin, let me ask you this. In The Wife, are they playing a bunch of catchy rock and roll classics?
They are not.
Now there's literally no reason for me to watch that movie.
Yes, you shouldn't.
No, no, you're good.
I think this is more than likely... I think it's probably Lady Gaga. I would like it to be Melissa McCarthy, honestly, I would like it to be anybody but her, than Glenn Close.
Oh, yeah.
But, I'm almost certain it's going to be her, because they can't say no to that speech.
I think Olivia Colman, I think she was fantastic. And also, I think Roma's is great, and her performance was great as well. But I don't know, I love The Favorite, and I think that's my favorite.
I kind of agree. I mean, I think that Olivia Colman's really great in that movie. I think, she makes herself, she can alternate between being regal and disgusting in a heartbeat.
It's oh, yeah.
In a more realistic way. That's what Dick Cheney should have been like.
Exactly. I want to see him, fucking farting and shit, you know?
Because you know what happened all the time, and that's a great point. It's it gives him... so much goddamn dignity. I was just the most quiet man in the room, and that's how you win.
I farted again.
Yeah, he's a disgusting fuck pig, and show him like that at least once or twice.
You should have had a scene where it's Dick Cheney is explaining directly to the camera what sharding means, and then it's a montage of him in all of these very important meetings throughout the history, and it's just I sharded right there. I sharded in that meeting. Oh, the mission accomplished. Publicity stunt. I sharted on the aircraft carrier.
Yeah, hello, Donald Rumsfeld. Watergate happened. Prepare to get to Washington and shart all over it. We're going sharting. It's hard time.
Condi, don't hold your nose at me. Condi, and unhold your nose.
As the montage is going, he's getting more and more okay with sharting. First he's like, oh God, I gotta go to the bathroom. But by the end, he's just rocking in his chair while it happens. Well,
President Ford asked me to leave the Oval Office when I sharted down my pants and there was a sizable turd left on the Oval Office carpet. I need to go to the hospital, by the way. Could you give me a ride?
Yeah, I think Yalitza is really, really great in that
She's
movie.
Great.
I mean,
great.
You could just look at her. You get so much from that performance. You know what I mean? And Cuaron frames her perfectly, but you really... I don't know. She goes through really a lot of different emotions in that movie, and none of it's super showy. No. Speaking of which, I think Melissa McCarthy is similarly great. It's not this big Academy Award-winning performance. She's just really kind of scummy and quiet and, wants to be left alone. And, I think it's the best thing she's ever done by, leaps and bounds.
Oh, it absolutely is. And I think that's what's so great about it is it's her doing something she's never done before.
Yes.
You know, I was very pleased that I could get through a Melissa McCarthy movie without having to watch her fall over.
Yeah.
You know, or fall through a table or whatever the fuck, or shit the street.
Guys, I think I just realized, we did original screenplay, but we didn't do adapted.
You should probably get to that.
We'll get to that next. I just want Melissa McCarthy to win so she can play a joke on everybody and be like, you know, thank you to the Academy. Thank you so much for this award. You know, working on the Happy Time Murders was the real honor of my life.
Kicking that puppet in the nuts. It was like meeting Heston.
All right. So we adapted screenplay. We have The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, Black Klansman, Can You Ever Forgive Me, If Beale Street Could Talk, and A Star Is Born. I should say, I from this list, because fuck you, Netflix, I never got around to it, I have not seen The Ballad of Buster Scruggs.
I think that should win. I actually absolutely loved that movie.
Uh-huh. I actually just watched it this week. I liked it. I liked it quite a bit. I think it's really good. It's very showy. It's very Coen. I like that they did something on Netflix. Like, clearly, we don't give a shit. Like, I like they got nominated for a movie that clearly they didn't care if anybody liked. It was just like, we are doing us, and this is it.
Yeah, that's great. True.
I think it's really good.
Getting nominated for being yourself is pretty sweet.
I mean, I would love Can You Ever Forgive Me here. I think that, again, that's one of my favorite movies of the year by far, and I think that screenplay is just really confident and, again, kind of quiet and, like, everything hits you the right way. You don't really find out about, like, what Richard E. Grant's deal is for quite some time. The way they reveal all that information about him is just great.
Yeah, I think it's probably going to end up going to Can You Ever Forgive Me? But I would really like, I don't know if Black Klansman's going to get anything else, and I would kind of really like to see it get that.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I think maybe it might get director, because I think it's time possible. For Spike Lee to win something.
It's possible.
It's a great movie. I really enjoyed it.
I watched it over the weekend, and I really, it's one of those things I regretted taking so long to see it. It really knocked me on my ass. I liked it a lot.
How about that ending, dude, right?
Yeah. Oh, I know. Incredible. It's so crazy. Like, the beef I had with it was in the screenplay, funny enough, because I'm talking about how I think it should win fucking adapted screenplay, too. But my one beef was, like, there's too many, like, hey, remember Trump's president, like, throughout the movie?
I guess a little bit of that.
I like connecting those dots, honestly. Like, I just feel like it makes it more...
I didn't think it was dot connecting, though. I just thought it was like, hey, Trump.
It does it in a more tactful way than Vice did it, because Vice is just like, they bookends with, like, the focus group, and there's, like, you libtard, and, like, they're, like, getting into, like, these...
That part of Vice was terrible, but what I did like the part at the end, though, where Dick Cheney, like, is looking at the camera and he's like, hey, by the way, if you fucking voted for George W. Bush before, you brought all that other shit on yourself that you're dealing with now. Bye-bye, movie.
Oh, you're still here? Oh, I'm just in my towel here coming out of the shower. And
I think
he's like Deadpool in that scene, too. Like, Dick Cheney breaking the fourth wall is just, like, too funny for me. Like, either do it throughout the film or not.
I think that back to the connecting the dots. I love the Heather Heyer stuff. It's so hard to watch, and it's vitally important to put that in that movie.
Because he's putting in the footage like that they cut out of the news broadcast.
Oh yes,
yeah. You know what I mean. It's fucking
that was the first
brutal.
Time I saw that footage, and I was stunned in the theater, and I like was weeping, openly weeping.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's such a good fucking movie, and I guess we can take this to achievement in directing then. So we have Spike Lee for Black Klansman, Pavel Pawlikowski for Cold War, good old Yorgos Lanthimos for The Favorite, Alfonso Cuarón for Roma, and fucking what are we doing here? Adam McKay for Vice.
Couldn't do Schrader, huh? Couldn't do it.
I know. That's what I'm talking about. What is this Vice nomination here?
He's the one person in the category that I don't want to win. Yes. Everybody else I'm okay with.
Yeah, I agree.
I do agree. Like, I think it's Spike's time. Like, if you're ever going to do the makeup Oscar, and also Black Klansman is awesome, give it to Spike Lee. Pavel Pavlovsky, exactly. I mean, the Cold War is one of my favorite movies of the year, too. Like, it's excellent.
It's excellent.
Fantastic.
And it's beautifully directed.
It is. And I love seeing a film that could, you know, it's you know, foreign film category, but it's also achieved a cinematography nomination, and he's getting this directing nomination. I think it's so awesome when they can fucking acknowledge that, you know, these films that are made outside of the United States are just as worthy of getting these, like, quote unquote, like, more major or more important category nominations.
Absolutely.
I think you might be right in that Lee might get this just because Cuarón already got his.
Right.
Oh, because he got Gravity, right?
Yeah, he's already been there. So if it wasn't for that, I would say it's probably going to Cuarón. But I feel like you're probably right. It's probably between Lee and Lanthimos, honestly.
And both of those are well-deserved. I mean, like, And obviously, like, in terms of deserved, I think Spike Lee deserves it more just for the career. But like, I think The Favorite is just excellently directed. I mean, like, without him, it's
I could see Cuarón getting it in the way that like Roma's probably not winning Best Picture. So I feel like Roma needs to be recognized, even though it was on a goddamn internet streaming service. So I didn't watch it until like yesterday.
And it's, you know what, Gene? It's fucking unfortunate that that's how you had to watch that movie. It really is. You know, that whole thing was fucking bullshit, but and Netflix continues to be a plague in this industry.
I saw it in theaters. I mean, that movie had decent distribution.
That is such a gorgeous movie.
It didn't, though, dude. Like, when you, like, the fucking nuts and bolts of, like, the agreements that you had to make to get that movie before it was on the streaming platform, like, now, sure, they don't care because it's everywhere. So, like, you can stream it on Netflix or you can go to these theaters that are playing it. But the fucking bullshit was, like, before it was on Netflix, they were like, yeah, we're still definitely concerned about theatrical exhibition. That's totally fine. So here's the deal. 2 weeks before it comes out on our platform, you can open it on a Thursday and you can play it till that Sunday. But then you have to stop playing it for Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And then you can come back on screen the next Thursday. Oh, but you have to come off that Sunday again. And it was just like this manipulative, like, what are you doing? Like, that's not how this business works. You can't just come in here and be like, hey, we're Netflix and this is when you can play our fucking movie. Like, it was so frustrating to me that, like, when we were going back and forth, like, it was honestly a tough call because, you know, at the Burns, honestly, I mean, this isn't like, you know, talking out of school or anything. We were like struggling because it's an excellent film. And we had people that wanted to see it, but it was at the end of the day, we decided, like, you're not going to dictate how we play movies. And it was manipulative and really fucking shitty and disingenuous. And I don't know. If that movie was owned by fucking whatever, Sony Pictures Classics, Fox Searchlight, whatever, it would have had a traditional rollout. It still would have received all these nominations. And I don't think the fact that, like, you can see it on your streaming platform means that, like, more people are finding that movie, because at the end of the day, it's still a black and white Spanish language art house
movie. I think more people are watching it just by dint of being able to see it, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, but like, there's no way to know maybe. That, though, dude. There's no way to know that because they don't fucking report those numbers. Anything they say about it is, like, they said something. It was some insane number, like, oh, yeah, we know that, like, 70 million people have seen this movie. Really? Like, there's no metrics for that they release, and I just think they're, as a company, completely full of shit.
No, they definitely are. I mean, they are fueled by invisible money, so they are definitely full of shit. But wasn't it also, didn't Cuarón have some special thing about showing it? Didn't, like, he have to have, like, certain Dolby sound?
Yeah, the Dolby Atmos, yeah. Like, they were demanding a really high-quality sound that a lot of theaters just aren't fitted for. And also, like, speaking about the distribution of it, it's like, outside of New York City, it's hard. It was super hard to find playing. One theater I know in Newburgh, New York, played it for like a day.
What was so that? That's what I mean. Though. I mean, like, films? I don't know. I feel like, as a quote unquote coastal elite, isn't it easier to say, oh, these things need to be in theaters? But like, if you're in, you know, a shit ass part of Michigan, I don't know why I always pick on Michigan, but I do. You know what I mean? Like, that doesn't have an art house theater, or if it does, it's got one screen or whatever the fuck. And now I could just, if I'm really into art house movies, if it's on a streaming service, that's better than not seeing it.
No, I don't think you're wrong with that, Steve, but I think that there is a way to have it both ways. And what bothers me is that Netflix pretends to share that opinion, and it's not true.
I think if you had to get asses in seats at theaters, there would have been a bigger ad campaign, sure. So more people would have been aware of it. Like, it kind of, all these Netflix releases for me kind of get under the radar because it's like, oh yeah, that came out, and I totally forgot about it. Like, I want to see Velvet Buzzsaw, and I had wanted to see it for a while, and I just realized it already has been on Netflix for like a month.
I totally agree with. I think that their rollout is terrible. Their interface is the worst.
Yes, but yes. Don't
you want to watch Umbrella Academy? Like, I'm trying to watch Buster fucking Scruggs.
Dude, what is this Umbrella Academy?
Must I press the back button?
But to your point, access is important, and I do think they do play a good service in terms of access, but I just wish I was more aware of what they were doing.
Yeah, and that's the like Velvet Buzzsaw, at least they put it on their main page. like High Flying Bird, I had to search, I had to type in H-I-G-H-F-L-Y until it came up.
I had to dig for Roma this week.
That's nuts. That's crazy.
That's, I mean, and that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's like,
I buy that.
You know, like with Roma, it's like it's in the conversation because of like all the acclaim that it's garnered. But even like Buster, and that's what's interesting too, is like with Buster Scruggs, they were not as gatekeepy about playing that movie. And like with Cabin, what was the Paul Giamatti movie that they had? The Tamara?
Oh, Private Life, which is also very good.
Private Life was another movie where it was like they didn't give a shit about it. And it was like, oh, you want to fucking open Private Life in your theater? Cool, whatever. We don't fucking care. You know, but it was like with Roma, it was just this weird thing where they were being so cagey and gatekeepy about it. And it's like, you have to have a uniform model for your fucking films. Like, it's just, it was very frustrating.
I mean, I can also see them kind of resenting the fact that they're also always being picked on when they are putting out movies like this. I mean, I'm not necessarily siding with them on this, but yeah. I at least understand the fact that they're like, look, we're trying to do something new. This is what we've been trying to do. You know, it's not going to go easily. And like the fact that I do think the problem is that they do keep on saying, we care a lot about distribution.
Yeah. Yeah, like don't, you know, fucking piss on my face and tell me it's raining.
Yeah.
You know, and also when you have two other streaming platforms that have had movies in the fight, you know, like this year and years before. So like this will bring us to, we'll do it real quick, documentary. But like Minding the Gap was a movie that Hulu had.
Yeah.
And Hulu partnered with fucking Magnolia Pictures and they did a rollout of the movie theatrically. And then the window closed. Magnolia doesn't take the bookings for it anymore. You can stream it on Hulu or you can book it through the production company. And there's nobody telling you how and when you can play Minding the Gap. And, you know, with Amazon, Amazon was like, all right, fuck it. You know, they were hiring all these other companies to do their distribution. So you could do like Manchester by the Sea was managed, its whole theatrical thing was managed by a company called Roadside Attractions, and then it went on Prime. And then, you know, late last year, Amazon was like, by the way, now we have Amazon Studios and we're going to distribute our own films because they have oodles of money just like Netflix does.
Yeah.
And, you know, they fucking released Suspiria and fucking Beautiful Boy and all that shit before they put it on Prime. So, like, I just don't see why Netflix thinks, like, they need to, want to, or have to reinvent the wheel with this shit. Like, I think it's possible to play nice.
I mean, I think the first part of that is because they do. I think they do think they're. I mean, they changed everything. I mean, so I do think having a head on their shoulders is kind of natural. Like having a bit of an ego about it is kind of natural. But I agree with you that they should be finding a more clear way to do this with each movie they put out, even if it is their big Oscar favorite. And like, just to talk about Doc real quick, Minding the Gap I did think was incredible. I'm actually more rooting for Hal County this morning, this evening,
which is also great,
incredible movie. And it's a completely, I don't know any movie that looks like that.
No, it's, I mean, that's something you want to talk about fucking reinventing the wheel. I mean, that the movie, it's really tough between those two. And then the other, I mean, Fathers and Sons is fucking nuts. That's a movie about, like, this dude was able to embed with this family in Syria, I believe, where basically watching, like, these fucking boys be radicalized to ISIS. And this family just, like, let them film this happening. Like, it's insane.
It is pretty crazy.
I mean, I understand why RBG's there. I don't think it should be there.
Well, yeah, that movie, that narrative was just so excellent.
Oh, man, dude, On the Basis of Sex. What a fucking turd biopic that movie was. And then Free Solo is a really good rock climbing movie, but I don't, you know, I can't believe the Fred Rogers movie wasn't nominated, honestly.
Won't yeah, I was kind of shocked about that, too, even though I didn't see it. I just kind of, when I saw it, I was like, well, that's going to win.
Yeah.
And I think it's like one of those things where it seemed like a shoe-in, but it was also a good movie, so I was fine with it. Totally. And I would still totally recommend it. I think you should watch it for sure.
Yeah, I feel like I heard about that movie and Three Identical Strangers the most in terms of docs this year, and they're nowhere to be seen here.
That was pretty shocking that Three Identical Strangers wasn't nominated.
And that's an excellent movie. That's like a really excellent movie.
That, Won't You Be My Neighbor and RBG did like boffo box office.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for documentaries, like it was crazy. I think they all totally topped $10 million, which for a documentary theatrically is totally insane. And I think Free Solo's actually up there too. That did quite well. I played that for a really long time.
Oh, guys, I was just told we're going to have to take a commercial break here. And in the break, we will talk about cinematography, and you won't hear that on this podcast.
Yeah, sorry, everybody.
So we should wrap this up here. Do you want to do cinematography quickly, foreign language film, and then get to Best Picture?
Sure.
I think Cuarón's going to win for Roma, and I think this will be the trade-off for not giving him director, actually.
That's probably right.
Now that I'm looking at the page here and I see that he's nominated for that, I think the cinematography in Roma the production design and, like, the managing of that, all those extras and all the variables in the frame was just incredible.
Riot scene specifically I'm thinking of right now.
And not to steal your point, Eric, but the way that Dick looks when he's swinging that stick.
My lord. And I just love that we're just like, it's front and center, that he knows where to put a camera.
Put it on that dick.
I think
favorite looked fantastic. I
mean, oh, big time.
I actually think Cold War, personally, I prefer the cinematography, the look of Cold War to Roma, but. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I could see either of them getting it.
What I love about the cinematography in Cold War, Steven, I may agree with you on this. What I loved about Cold War was when I saw it, I didn't know what the movie was about. So when it starts and the look of the film, and I'm like, all right, cool. So this is some, like, you know, Eastern European period piece. Fine. You know, I'm in it. That's totally cool. And then when the movie transfers to Paris, all of a sudden I felt like I was watching a French film from the 1960s. And I was, like, totally blown away by the pivot that the film makes. You know, while you're still using, like, Academy Standard 1:37 aspect ratio, it's in black and white, but he's doing so much there. And it's just such, like, lush photography. This is a really hard category, except for the fact that what the flying fart is A Star Is Born doing there.
Just regular looking. I don't know. It looked regular to
That's
me.
Just the, like, we got to put stuff in there so people think a sweep might happen of that movie they like.
I'll actually stick up with for that movie. I actually do think it's a pretty interesting looking movie, especially, again, it goes downhill, I think. I think it's a little more freer in the beginning.
The start, like, when, like, he's going up to the club and stuff, I was like, holy shit, this might actually be, like, a really good movie. But then it just continued to disappoint me as we went on.
Yeah, I think that's...
Are you going to do the Silent Live shots look great or not?
Not too much. The best of the movie. I do think it's almost certainly going to go to Cold War. I would place money on that one.
Even though, I mean, the favorite, it's, like, his fucking Barry Lyndon, dude. I mean, that's... Yeah. It's tough.
It is. It's actually really tough.
I'm not sure. Robbie Ryan might have already won.
That I don't know.
I don't know. I think he has, though.
He was this is his first nomination.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry. I'm on the IMDb Tribune right now.
Oh, then
maybe he should win because he's been fucking great for a long time.
Okay. So quickly, foreign language film. Capernaum from Lebanon, Cold War from Poland, Never Look Away from Germany, Roma from Mexico, and my favorite film of the year, Shoplifters from Japan. So I'm thinking it should go to that.
I think it's probably between that and Roma, depending on where the awards land otherwise. But I think the three main, I don't think Never Look Away is going to get anything, and I don't think Capernaum is going to get anything, but, you know, who knows? But I think it's between Cold War, Shoplifters, and Roma.
I think it's going to be Cold War because I think Roma's going to win Best Picture.
I mean, I think Cold War certainly deserves it. Roma does as well. I mean, Shoplifters, I wanted to see. I have it sitting next to me, and I was like, better watch that before we do this. And just the day got away from me. But I am going to check it out, and I'm very excited, too.
That movie looked sad. I don't know if
it's very sad.
It looked a little sad.
Well, it's devastating. Cold War is sad, too, dude.
Yeah, that's true. The
most bleakest movie on the Roma.
Roma's hilarious, though. Laugh right. Go see Roma if you like to laugh, especially when you see the dog's heads on the wall. Yeah. That's funny.
The hospital scene is a laugh riot.
Oh, my God. I could not stop chuckling. I got a cramp.
No, I don't know.
You know what? I needed CPR after that scene. It was so funny.
Oh, my God.
No, I mean, I guess that my thing about sadness and Shoplifters is, like, it's like sad kids. That's when I get, like, I can't handle it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sad adults, you know, like we're going back and forth across the border. Whatever, man. That's your problem.
It was all about thirst, too.
Yeah.
The one thing I'll say, though, it's funny because Capernaum and Never Look Away are both distributed by Sony Pictures Classics. And somehow, if you look back over the last few years, like 9 times out of 10, the fucking Sony Pictures Classic foreign language film is the one that wins.
Oh, really?
I don't know if it's because they mount
corruption.
Better corruption, probably. You know, like better campaigns. I have no idea. I'd also just love
rigged foreign feature section.
Why am I reading a movie in the first place? The other thing about Shoplifters is I'd love to see it win because it would be an Oscar win for the good folks at Magnolia Pictures.
Corita has been overdue.
He has yet to make a bad movie.
Yeah,
I think he is a flawless director.
Steve, do you know who directed Don't Look Away?
Never Look Away.
Never Look Away is the man behind The Tourist and The Lives of Others.
Yeah, you can keep it.
Steve still hates the dude because his film The Lives of Others made him realize that he needed glasses.
Oh, no, that guy changed my life.
Remember that though, Steve, when we watched that movie?
Oh, totally. Because we went to, I think, the Angelica, that fucking tunnel. And we're in the back and we're watching The Lives of Others. And I kept moving up and I was like, I need glasses.
I moved with Steve once. Yeah. And then he's like, I got to get closer. I was like, do what you got to do, dude. I'm not moving again.
That was a good movie.
It was a great movie. The thing about Never Look Away, it's fucking 3 hours and 10 minutes, so fucking strap in for that, I guess.
Whatever.
All right, so let's wrap it up here. Best Picture, Black Klansman, Black Panther, Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Green Book, Roma, A Star is Born, and Vice.
We can talk about Black Panther a little bit since we haven't talked about it anywhere else. I mean, I think that movie, it's deserving. It's one of those big blockbustery, like... it's kind of like it's like the third Lord of the Rings. It's like the one that kind of encapsulates the movement a little bit. Sure. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, I also think Black Panther's a really good movie, but I don't think it's got a snowball's chance.
No, I think this is like you said we should fucking diversify the portfolio. We nominated it.
I don't know. I think it has a chance. I don't know if it's up there with, you know, Roma or Green Book or if it goes to Bohemian Rhapsody.
I feel like if it had a chance, Michael B. Jordan would have been nominated. That's my thing.
Yeah.
That's the telltale. He could have been, certainly. He was great in that movie.
I think it's there. I'm not saying it's definitely worthy. I just don't think it's being taken seriously by the Academy.
No, that's a good point. I don't think it's being taken seriously either, which I think is unfortunate. I mean, for me personally, it's my favorite MCU movie. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just a well-made movie. Like Coogler makes fucking good movies. You know, I think he is, what is this now? 3 for 3.
Yeah.
He's got 3 features.
Yeah, it's
Creed and Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Station. Then he's doing the Fred Hampton movie next.
Who? The what?
The Fred Black Panther who was murdered in Chicago.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Now, which Marvel villain murdered him?
I think that was Silver Claw? Samurai.
Oh,
okay.
Black Klansman.
I think it would be awesome to see either like Black Klansman or Black Panther win and just watch so many fucking dickheads on the internet shit their pants.
I will say that there's 3 categories. Give Spike Lee one of these Oscars.
Yes. Yes.
You're totally right.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, The Favorite has been my favorite out of the movies listed here. And Roma's really good too, but again, like Black Klansman, I'd be totally happy with. I would prefer Vice not or Bohemian or A Star Is Born not to get it.
I kind of feel like my bet is Roma. I would like to see The Favorite or Black Klansman win.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
I think the thing is,
Roma's really good too, by the way.
Yeah, I mean,
Roma's a totally deserving, really good movie that I wouldn't be upset if Roma won. I'd be upset if fucking A Star Is Born, Vice, or Green Book, or Bohemian Rhapsody win.
Well, that's the thing. Yes. I think if we can avoid, if Bohemian Rhapsody, Green Book, A Star Is Born, and Vice all lose, then whatever else happens, we fucking win as a society.
100%. 100% on that one.
So I guess we will find out. The magic night is this Sunday.
Oh, by the way, the bet we have going with Steve Sadek, if people do not know.
Oh, right, the bet.
Yeah, on the Love Guru episode, episode 400, monumental corner, like monumental episode of this show, kind of, you know, like, boom, 400 episodes. And
right,
we put money on the line that on this Academy Award night, Vern Troyer will be spit upon.
That's Steve's bet.
Yeah, everyone else is saying he'll get a quick second in this in memoriam.
And so what's going to happen is tune into the Oscars, see who wins, myself or the rest of the guys, and then tune into our March video mailbag where I will physically be handed money by these fuckers. It's going to happen, yes, on air. We're going to do it. You're going to see it happen.
And that'll be on our YouTube channel, youtube.com/WeHateMovies, and it'll probably be towards the end of March, so yeah, you'll have to hold on to your hats there.
You'll know who won.
You will know who won, but you won't see it in the fleshy form.
The pomp and circumstance.
Exactly.
Steve, the other side of that is Eric and Andrew will have to hold you down while I pry your wallet out of your pocket.
Yeah, that's true too.
There are a lot of people that died this year, to Steve's credit. I mean, what was Harry Anderson?
Oh, I feel like I'm betting on Bill Belichick right now. I really do.
I will say just really quickly, if people are finding this episode because they're searching about shit for the Oscars, we're talking about whether or not Vern Troyer will be Farina'd at the Oscars. Is the term we use here, and We Hate Movies. And Steve, if you just want to quickly explain what we're talking
Dennis
about
Farina,
here.
Dennis Farina, the year he died, which is a couple years ago, was famously not in the In Memoriam montage. And every year since then, the Farina is the people that are deserving of being memorialized that are not memorialized.
Right. Cabin, if I'm remembering right, last year, wasn't Toby Hooper Farina?
Fucking believable.
Yeah, that was...
To not give Toby Hooper a space on that is fucking nuts.
Yeah, so I'm very curious to see who's getting freed. I'll say about Harry Anderson, though, I think people who are predominantly television, getting Farina'd.
I think you're right. I think you're right, which makes more room for Vern Troyer.
That's true. That is true. So we will find out this Sunday evening with all the glitz, the glamour, and we'll find out who's wearing what, whatever the fuck else anybody cares about. But most importantly, whether or not Vern Troyer is Farina'd at the Oscars. So that is the We Hate Movies 2019 Oscar special. Until next time, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.